Blog Talk Radio.
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, believing and trusting in your word, God, and that your word is true, God. We lifting up holy hands, praising you, God. Hallelujah. Lord, let your spirit break out on this word this morning. As we move forward, God, let us move forward in you. Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. And my heart cries out for you today, just letting you know how much I love you, Lord. I love you with all my heart, Jesus. You died for me. Because you love me. You took my sins to the cross because you love me. You bled and died because you love me. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you with all my heart. And that I love you more than anything. Lord, I love you more than anything. As the psalmist said, let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to your holy name, Father God. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Thank you for this day that you have made. I rejoice in it with a happy heart, knowing that I am loved. And it's in the name of the matchless Savior who loved me more than anything and who I love more than anything, I pray. Amen. Good morning, family, on this awesome love day. It's a love thing that we just got to understand. We are loved. You are loved. I am loved. We are loved by the Most High God who loved us enough. His holy begotten Son for our sins so that we have opportunity for life everlasting. Thank God today. Call someone and say, I love you. You don't know. You may be the only one that tells them that today. Let them know, I love you, family. So this morning, I say to all of you that are listening live or listening later, I love you. Have a wonderful love day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And blessed to be with you this morning, to just know God gave me another day. Hopefully, I will not waste it or throw it away. In Jesus' name. Let's get into this holy word today. And our word is coming out, our title is coming out of the 22nd Psalm. And, you know, as you read the word of God, you realize prophecy was going on all through the Old Testament. David was prophesying about the Savior. It was new. It was something that had been told all through the word of God. There were those that chose to believe and those that chose not because of power, because of envy, because they liked strife. But mostly it was because of power. The crucifixion happened because of envy and power. And let's call it straight, so many times, envy and power destroys so much. It destroys nations. It destroys people. It destroys hope. It destroys lives. How many people have lost employment, have lost their homes, their families, because somebody envied them and didn't like their success and didn't like their feelings, that they crucified them in a different way, didn't like their beliefs in Jesus Christ. We don't know, sometimes you are being persecuted because the devil don't like your peace. The devil don't like your joy. The devil don't like your success. And you're always giving God credit for it. So he tries to sabotage. He creates envy. He creates strife. He creates all kinds of things within the body. And that's why we have to fight that infection called sin, called envy, called strife, called the devil. Because he's busy. And we got to be prayed up every day. We got to put that armor on every day. Put your armor on and stand on the word of God. So speaking of the word of God, let's get into it this morning. And we are coming out of Exodus chapter 39 through chapter 40. 22nd Psalm. Verses 16 through 21, Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 through 31, and Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 26. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of the King James Version of the word, and again thanking Dr. Stanley for his commentary. So when you hear me say life lessons or life examples or life principles or questions or what the Bible says, those are commentary by Dr. Charles Stanley. And all I can say is, Lord, continue blessing this awesome man of God. Keep him covered under the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And let's get into the word. So have you got your word yet? Again, this is Bible study. This is us. We are going to read this word of God. God willing, we will finish the entire Bible on December 31st. We started January 1st in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and we're going to end it in Revelation, hallelujah, chapter 22, verse 21, and our last word for the 31st and the end of this year, God willing, will be amen. Hallelujah. So let's get started. And it says this, of the blue, purple, and scarlet thread, they made garments of ministry for ministering in the holy place and made the holy garments for Aaron and the Lord had as the Lord had commanded Moses. He made the ephod of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, and of fine woven linen. The gold into thin sheets and cut it into threads to work it in with blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and the fine linen into artistic designs. They made shoulder straps for it to couple it together. It was coupled together at the two edges, an intricately woven band of ephod that was on it was of the same workmanship, woven of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet threads, and of fine woven linen, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And they set onyx stones enclosed in settings of gold. They were engraved as signets are engraved with the names of the sons of Israel, it on the shoulders of the ephod, as memorial stones for the sons of Israel, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he made the breastplate artistically woven like the workmanship of the ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and a fine woven linen. They made the breastplate square by doubling it. A span was its length and a span its width when doubled, and they set in it four rows of stones, a row with sardis, a topaz, and an emerald was the first row. The second row, a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a genesis, an agate, and an amethyst. The fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were enclosed in settings of gold in their mountings. There were 12 stones according to the names of the sons of Israel, according to their names, engraved like a signet, each one with its own name according to the 12 tribes. And they made chains for the breastplate, ends of the braided cords and of pure gold. They also made two settings of gold and two gold rings, and put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And they put the two braided chains of gold in the two rings on the ends of the breastplate. The two ends of the two braided chains they fastened in two settings and put them on the shoulder straps of the ephod in the front. And they made two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate, on the edge of it, which was on the inward side of the ephod. They made two other gold rings and put them on the two shoulder straps underneath the ephod toward the front right at the seam above the intricately woven band of the ephod. And they bound the breastplate by means of its rings to the rings of the ephod with a blue cord, so that it would be above the intricately woven band of the ephod, and that the breastplate would not come loose from the ephod, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He made the robe of the ephod of woven work, all of blue. And there was an opening in the middle of the robe, opening in a coat of mail with a woven binding all around, an opening so that it would not tear. They made on the hem of the robe pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet, and of fine woven linen. And they made bells of pure gold to put the bells between the pomegranates on the hem of the robe, all around between the pomegranates, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, all around the hem of the robe to minister in as the Lord had commanded Moses. They made tunics artistically woven of fine linen for Aaron and his sons, a turban of fine linen, exquisite hats of fine linen, short trousers of fine woven linen, and a sash of fine woven linen with blue, purple, and scarlet thread made by a weaver as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold and wrote on it an inscription like the engraving of a signet. Holiness to the Lord. I say that again. Holiness to the Lord. And they tied to it a blue cord to fasten it above on the turban as the Lord had commanded Moses. Thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So they did. And they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent and all its furnishings, its glass, its boards, its bars, its pillows, and its sockets. The covering of ram skin dyed red, the covering of badger skin, and the veil of the covering, the ark of the testimony with its poles, and the mercy seat, the table, all its utensils, and the showbread, the pure gold lampstand with its lamps, the lamps set in order, all its utensils, and the oil for light, the gold anointing oil, and the sweet incense, the scene, the screen for the tabernacle door, the bronze altar, its grate of bronze, its poles, and all its utensils, the lever with its base, the hangings of the court, its pillars and its sockets, the screen for the court gate, the cords and its pegs, all the utensils for the service of the tabernacle, for the tent of meeting and their garments of ministry to minister to the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron, the priest, and his son's garments to minister as priests, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So the children of Israel did all the work. Then Moses looked over all the work, and indeed they had done it as the Lord had commanded, just so they had done it. And Moses blessed them. On this, they were totally obedient. Everything the Lord had given them to do, they did it. And that is what we must do. Whatever God says do, we must do. They pierced his feet. They pierced his hands for us. And all we have to do is be obedient. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You shall put it in the ark of the testimony and partition off the ark with the veil. You shall bring in the table and arrange the things that are to be set in order on it, and you shall bring in the lampstand and light its lamps. You shall also set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony and put up the screen for the door of the tabernacle. Then you shall set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. And you shall set the lever between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar and put water in it. You shall set up the court all around and hang up the screen at the court gate. And you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it. and you shall hallow it and all its utensils, and it shall be holy. You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offerings and all its utensils, and consecrate the altar. The altar shall be most holy, and you shall anoint the laver and its base and consecrate it. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and wash them with water. You shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. And you shall bring his sons and clothe them with tunics. You shall anoint them as you anointed their father, that they may minister to me as priests. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations, as Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. And it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised. So Moses raised up the tabernacle, fastened its sockets, set up its boards, and put in its bars, and raised up its pillars. And he spread out the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent on top of it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He took the testimony and put it into the ark, inserted the poles through the rings of the ark, and put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, hung up the veil of the covering, and partitioned off the ark of the testimony as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the table in the tabernacle meeting on the north side of the tabernacle outside the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the lampstand in the tabernacle meeting across from the table on the south side of the tabernacle. And he lit the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the gold star in the tabernacle meeting in front of the veil. And he burnt sweet incense on it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He hung up the screen at the door of the tabernacle. He put the altar of burnt offerings before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the grain offering, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He set the laver between the tabernacle of the meeting and the altar, and put water there for washing. And Moses, Aaron, and his sons would wash their hands and their feet with water from it whenever they went into the tabernacle meeting. And when they came near the altar, they washed as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar, and hung up the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journey. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And as we go to some life lessons from chapter 39 and chapter 40 of Exodus, chapter 39, verse 42, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did all the work. God calls us to obey him in all things, whether we understand all of his commands or not. The people carefully carried out all of Moses' instructions, even down to the little details that might not have seemed crucial to them, like pomegranates at the end of the hem of the robe. Come on now. We're like, what? He put, and they made bells of pure gold and put the bells between the pomegranates on the hem of the robe all around between the pomegranates. A bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate all around the hem of the robe to minister in as the Lord had commanded Moses. And you think pomegranates and bells? What kind of crazy is that? But you know what? It was for a purpose and a reason to give God glory. Wow. And they did everything that they were told to do. And the question becomes, are we always able to do what God calls us to do? I would be honest to say, I'm not perfect. And no, I have not always done what I've been told to do. And believe me, I suffered for it because of my disobedience. And so I know when God says move, I got to move. Even when I'm tired, even when I don't feel like it, even when he says go, I go because that's what God tells me to do. When he says rest, I rest. I learned that the hard way when I found myself on my back, not able to move because I was not feeling well. It's no joke. It is no joke. Don't wear yourself out. When God says rest, rest. When you get that off day, use it for what it's supposed to be, a day of rest. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Rest. Rest and spend time with God. And you will see your week will go better. When you go to church on Sunday, you feel refreshed. You feel renewed. You feel ready to praise. You feel filled up because you spent time with God the day before. Hallelujah. And it says this, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. A similar phenomenon occurred when Solomon dedicated the temple in Jerusalem. And when we go to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 and 11, it says, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Whoa, Jesus. The glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. God gives us everything we need and more than we could ever ask for. You know, he loves us like that. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God's glory filled up our church on Sunday. It was the Holy Spirit was all, oh my goodness. The Holy Spirit was up and moving. It was awesome. It was a great service. And our pastor preached. Whose did she preach? God used her on Sunday. And we got to let God use us as well. And, you know, we have to say she was going through because it was the 1 year anniversary of the passing of her husband. You know, Pastor Paul, but she was, ooh, she was magnificent. The Lord used her for his glory. So your Lord used the anointed voices of praise for his glory. The Lord used everybody for his glory. It was a celebration because it was Pastor Paul's heavenly birthday. Hallelujah. We got to celebrate our loved ones that have gone on. Don't mourn. Celebrate. Because the word of God says absent from the body is in the presence of the Lord. And I had to learn that. I had to learn it. It was hard for me. It was hard for me for a lot of years. I just couldn't understand because my husband was young when he died. I couldn't understand why, Lord. And God said, why not? I had to shut my mouth and learn, deal with it, enjoy and celebrate. Don't mourn because that's a trick of the enemy. So I tell you this, when you see, don't get judgy. When you see people who have lost loved ones, celebrate. Have a good time. You see them laughing. You see them crying. But But you know that the joy of the Lord is their strength. And when we know that, we can celebrate with them. Don't feel sorry for me. Know that I celebrate because absent from the body is in the presence of the Lord. And Lord knows that when we leave this wicked world, we want to be in God's presence. Hallelujah. So celebrate. We got to stop mourning and whining and crying. I'm speaking to me because it took me years to get over my husband's death. Years. I can't tell anybody else anything. All I know is years because I just didn't want to accept it. And I went through serious depression because we were married a long time. But I know that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I thank God that his presence was in our house. His presence was in the house of God on Sunday. I'm getting filled up right now just talking about it. I came in filled up because we had, the word of God was flowing on Sunday morning. It was just that good. I was filled up. I'm filled up now. Hallelujah. We got to obey what God says do. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And it says this, Dr. Stanley tells us. He said, God wanted to leave no doubt among his people that he would be with them as promised. And when we go to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 4, it says, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Ooh, hallelujah. Let's go back a little bit to put that word in context. And go with me, if you can, to Isaiah chapter 6. And it says, Isaiah is commissioned. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. And with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Then it said, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Come on now. Woo! We better understand God's presence will cover us. We will wonder why it feels like smoke. It's like, is there smoke in here somewhere? It's just the glory of God filling wherever you are. Hallelujah. Love the Lord today. Call on his name today and know that you are special to God because he loves us like that. Jesus paid it all for us on that awful, awful cross. But he took all of our awful sins to it. He was crucified not because he had done anything, but because we had. Hallelujah. And as we go into the word, it talks about the seventh seal in Revelation chapter 8. And when we go to Revelation chapter 8, it tells us again. And let's go back to verse 1. It says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in the heaven above the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke, there it is again, of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended upon before God out of the angel's hand. Woo, glory. And as we go into the last verse that Dr. Stanley has given us in chapter 40 of Exodus, chapter 40 of Exodus, verse 38, the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night. With such continuous and obvious signs of the Lord's guiding presence We might wonder why the Israelites ever doubted his leading, yet we have his spirit within us, and how many of us ever doubted his guidance? I could raise my hand and say it more than I should have, and I have to ask and had to repent. I repent, Lord God, forgive me. We got to repent. When we mess up, we got to start cleaning up. Hallelujah. And I'm speaking to me. I can't talk about anybody but myself. And as we go into our psalm this morning, we are in the 22nd psalm, starting at verse 16 through 21. And this is where our title comes from this morning. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. Come on now. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. All my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword. My precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 through 31. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. Come on, Jesus. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the water would not transgress his command, when he made the foundation of the earth, when I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. Whew, that's a word. We got to go right back. Verse number 30. When I was beside him as a master craftsman. What was Jesus? The son of a carpenter. He was a carpenter. Isn't that the carpenter's kid? No, he is the great creator's kid. He is the son of God. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. Come on now. And my delight was with the sons of men. Hallelujah. Thanking God that he sent his son for us. Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 26. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. Now, we already know that they had grabbed him, they had beat him, they had spit upon him. They had, you know, just got downright vicious and nasty. And we all know, Judas knows he did some wrong, scandalous stuff. And so let's read the word and see what happens. Are you with me this morning? Chapter 27. And when morning came, all the priests, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had found him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because they are the price of blood. Consulted together and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, the field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said to him, it is as you say. Bam. That was the only thing he said. Now let's go back and say, and while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. He answered Pontius Pilate, and for the rest of them, he ignored them. Because he already knew what they was about. But he also knew his assignment. He knew why he was sent here. And it was time to fulfill the last of his assignment. And it says, then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. You know, the old people where I grew up would have said, he mumble not a mumbly word. He did not say anything. Now, at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ? For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Christ, Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said to him, let him be crucified. Then the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. They put a curse on their kids. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, beat him up, just tore up his back, he delivered him to be crucified. He's like, you ain't getting me in this mess. He was having a West moment. My name is Les, and I'm not in this mess, because y'all are not going to do this to me. Because his wife was clairvoyant. His wife had some gifts, and his wife was a closet Christian. She wasn't letting nobody know her business, but she was a Christian. She believed in Jesus, and she knew who he was because God had given it to her in a dream. You know, we got to understand God speaks to even sinners. You know, I remember growing up, there would be people that you knew in your heart was called, but they had some issues. You know, my uncle, my grandmother's brother, my grandmother's own, we weren't her only brother, but he was oldest brother. He was her brother by the same father and mother. And my uncle, he could preach. Oh, my God, he could preach. But he only did it when he was intoxicated. But I don't know how many people got saved. But he was a man of God. He could, oh my God, he could preach. And every time I thought about it, I thought, wow, what a great uncle he was. You know, he was the one, when I was little bitty, not more than a baby, who would take care of me. Or make sure I had everything I needed. He always was there. And I, oh my God, I guess this is where I got all of this from. His anointing passed to me. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for my uncle, Lawless, who loved me. We called him Buster. But my uncle could preach. Unfortunately, he ran from his calling. And we can't run from our calling. God put us in a place for a reason. And I love the fact that, as Dr. Stanley Gibbons, he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Pilate was used to prisoners cowering in his presence. This one did not, and it unnerved him. Isaiah had predicted that the Messiah would keep silent before his accusers, and Jesus did exactly that. And when we go over to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, and if you get a chance, read all of chapter 53 of Isaiah. It will do something to your heart and to your spirit. It will do something. That's all I can say. And it says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Woo! He opened not his mouth. And as we go over to our last life lesson, and then we'll have a life example on this love day. And it says in Matthew 27:19, have nothing to do with this man, with that just man. For I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. What did God tell Pilate's wife in this dream? What did he intend to accomplish through it? How should the dream have influenced events? We don't know. But we do know that God speaks to those with open ears. Are your ears open today to hear from the Lord? And as we go over to Dr. Stanley's word in his thoughts, for example, today, you know, Dr. Stanley is so awesome. He gives a word that just does something to your heart, because it comes and you can feel it from his heart, because he did this word because God instructed him to, and he follows God. And that's what we must do. And it says this, there is no doubt that as Jesus stood trial in front of Pilate, he was completely focused. Matthew 27:12 tells us why he was being accused by the chief priests and elders. He answered nothing. Think about that. As the false accusations were being flung at him, the Son of God didn't call a battalion of angels to his aid. He didn't curse the priests and elders, as he had the fig tree that didn't bear fruit. We read that in Matthew 21. Verse 19, he did not do anything to defend himself. He answered nothing. Hebrews 12:2 helps us understand Christ's mindset. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus endured it all for the joy set before him. He was enough to stop him from answering his accusers. It was enough to stop him from answering his accusers. It was sufficient to keep him focused. Woo, hallelujah. Yet what was the overwhelming joy? Of course, it was doing the Father's will. However, it was also you. It was me. It was you. It was us. Ephesians 5:2 admonishes, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. Galatians 2:20 says, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Woo, hallelujah. Christ's joy was you. Christ's joy was me. Think about that as you celebrate And I know he said St. Valentine's Day. I say as you celebrate Love Day. But love is not simply red hearts, bouquets of flowers, and chocolate. True love is unconditional. True love reaches out. True love gives itself sacrificially. True love gives itself sacrificially. Perhaps you have a special loved one with which to celebrate today. Or perhaps today is one of the loneliest days of the year. To you, perhaps you are wondering if anyone is thinking about you. The answer, yes. Jesus is. He's thinking about you today. And his thought about you back then. He thought about you as he stood trial, and his love for you kept him focused on the goal to reconcile you to God, to show you his love eternally. So today, remember that you are Christ's joy, his beloved, and have a very happy love day. That is all I have this morning. Thank you so much for joining me on this day of love, to know that he took the piercings in his hand. He took the pierced feet for me and for you because he loved us. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. God loved us so much that he gave his love, his son, for you and me. Let us give love today. Just call a friend or family member. Just tell somebody, I love you. And so I say to all of you that have listened in today, I love you. And I thank God for you. I thank God that you listened in. And I pray that this day of love brings you peace, that this day of love brings you joy, that this day of love brings you everything you need and more than you could ever ask for. So let us go into our prayer for today. You are love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. 1 John 4:8. Excuse me. God of kindness. Your love knows no limit or boundaries. It is an infinite resource. It's so much more than a feeling and much more than I can rightly know. Your word says that you are love. It is your very character. What a wonderful mystery. There are so many expressions of this lavish, loyal love that I can see in my life and all around me. The weight of your affection is staggering. And yet it is the most refreshing force on earth. It's like a cool breeze on a hot day and refreshing water in the desert. It is the strongest force in the universe. How could it not be if it is who you are? You are so good, Lord. Let my life be filled with this love that demonstrates my identity as a child of the one true God. Increase my capacity. I know I want to know how high, how deep, how wide, how long is your love. It may be a futile request, but who could know its lengths? Even so, Lord, I want more. And the question for today is, where do you see the thread of God's love? Hallelujah. And as we wrap it up this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, today on this day of love. Hallelujah. And our word for this morning is this. Letting go of the past is only hard when you don't believe in your future. Don't be afraid. God has you. Have a terrific Tuesday. And I say, have a loving God day. Love each other this morning. I just want to share with you, for those that are not Facebook friends of mine. The word that God gave me this morning on my Facebook, I should say, what he gave me to put on my Facebook this morning is this. On this day of love, let us never forget the great love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He allowed his hands and feet to be pierced for you and me. He took our sins to the cross and gave his life for us. The word of God tells us greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. John 15:13. And so I say to you today, thank you for being my friends and family. Thank you for loving the Lord just as much as I do. And I love, you know, what my mom sent me this morning. Happy Love Day to my beautiful daughter and family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And so I just wanted to tell my mom, I love you, Mama. Have a wonderful love day. It's a love thing that we all must understand. Have a great day, family. If there's anyone else that has a word that God has put on your heart, now is the time to push that one on your phone so that your line may be open. And if not, I just want to say I love you all, and there's nothing you can do about it but love God and love me as your sister, as I love you as my sisters and brothers. And we have a caller this morning. Good morning, Mother. I love you.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Shannon from Wichita, Kansas.
Good morning.
I just want to tell the world that I love you because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I love you all, and I pray that everyone of every family, every Boaz, every helpmate, every sister, brother, and uncle, niece, and nephew, grandparent, grandchildren, love one another as Christ loves the church, that we will not perish but have everlasting life. Love you all. God bless.
Amen. Thank you so much. I called you mother, but thank you. You are a mother. You are a mother.
Amen.
And a grandmother and a great-grandmother. God has
Amen.
Increased your olive garden. Your olive grove is very big. And all we can say is thanking God for you, my sister in Christ, for you, Mother Shannon, for you, Evangelist, for you, Minister, for all the things that you do for so many. You know, may God bless you on this day of love, knowing that you are loved by God. And as we all can say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The greatest love we could ever have is the love of God and the love of his son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I love you, sis. Have a great wonderful day. I love all of you friends and family. Know that you are loved by someone. I send a hug around the world to you all and a kiss from God. Mwah! Have a blessed and wonderful day. It is a wrap on this love day. We don't do Valentine's. We do love because God
loves.
Have a great day,
family. Love you, Pastor
Jesse. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours because it's a love thing that we all understand. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.